Despite efforts to stem the tide of opioid overdose deaths in Massachusetts, the latest statistics suggest that a record number, some 2,000 people, died of overdoses in this state last year. One of the grassroots groups working to make a dent in this is called Magnolia New Beginnings. It was formed by parents on the North Shore a few years ago, not only to offer support to other parents, but also to help financially by providing scholarships for long-term substance use treatment, which typically is not covered by health insurance. Maureen Cavanaugh founded the group amid her daughter's struggles with substance use. She says she didn't know where to turn after heroin took over her daughter's and then her life. Cavanaugh still bristles at the hurt, the shame, and the isolation she felt when she read a local newspaper headline about her daughter saying, "Former honor student facing prostitution charges." We met with her at her home recently to talk about the purpose of her group.
I started this group so that initially to be able to help people financially who needed a new beginning, but it's evolved into much more than that. It's involved into a whole support system for not only people that are seeking recovery in trying to navigate the system, but in families and parents to find support, to have that feeling that they're not alone. These are all things that I didn't have when I initially found out that my daughter was using. I had no idea where to turn. I didn't know anybody else that had this problem. I felt like I was the only one that had this problem. Thank God I went to a Learn to Cope meeting, because that I always tell people to go to Learn to Cope. It's the best out there for an in-person meeting, but it's not always enough. Because you sometimes need something at 2 o'clock in the morning. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had on my Facebook pages at 2 o'clock in the morning with people that, because I can't sleep and they can't sleep, and you know, and it's good to know that there's somebody else out there that's feeling like you're feeling.
But also the raising money part is big for you, right? And that's a big part of what you do.
We try really hard to have as much, to raise as much money as possible, because it's $500 is very often, $500 or $600 is a month's worth of sober living, and that's usually that sometimes is the difference between somebody's life and death, whether they're going to go through 30 days or 60 days or 90 days of treatment and be feeling like they're ready to change their life. And to have to go to a shelter is that's not conducive to recovery. So as much money as we raise, we can spend that 10 times over, because there's so many people that need help.
Did you feel that you sort of had to do this to step in because there was a void? And I mean, why do it this way? Why raise money for that 1 month? Why did you think that was important?
Well, there's so many voids in this system, because, you know, the continuum of care, I think, is the biggest place we fall down. So it's my belief that people that are in recovery need to have a year of supported living in some way or another. So you go through detox, you go through treatment. Hopefully the treatment is longer than 30 days, but it needs to be at least 30 days. And then you go into a supported, good, strong, supported living environment where you're surrounded by people in recovery that are... And you're keeping each other in check, and you're going through the whole first year of your recovery and all the things that happen to a person in life, getting a job, losing a job, a birthday, fights with your family, breaking up with somebody. All these things happen in a supportive environment. And then people have a better chance of dealing with these things when they're not living in those situations. Because for most people, they've been using using drugs in order to deal with any of those things. So if for years that was your go-to, if when you lost a job, you got high. When you whatever it was that you were dealing with in life, even the good things, you celebrated by getting high. How are you supposed to deal with life if you don't have any experience dealing with life? So if you can have a year of that support, you have a much greater likelihood of holding on to your sobriety in a permanent way. And that's what we want.
Yeah. But you have to do it. A private citizen has to start a nonprofit to do it. The system isn't doing it.
No, and that needs to change. Because even if you don't have your heart in this, even if it hasn't affected you personally, which fewer and fewer people can say, you know, for whatever your beliefs are, it's not cost effective to keep sending people out after a few days of detox or a short term in treatment, and then having them come back over and over and over again at best, or to die. This constant in and out of treatment is very expensive. If we do it right, it actually turns out to be less expensive, and we're putting healthier people back into society, and that makes sense all around.
But some people might say, you know, people are in and out because they're not ready, right? And maybe it's the person and the illness and not so much the system. What would you say to that?
I think then we need to find better ways to treat our people. I think we need to treat this like any other disease, and because it is a disease, and to make sure that we have the best treatment available to people the first time that they go in. And it's a relapsing brain disease. So we have to also account for that some people may come in and out because that's the nature of this disease.
Now, your group has 14,000 people on Facebook. Is that right?
Approximately, yeah.
And you have
probably a little more, actually.
And about 700 members in Massachusetts.
We have 700 members, a little over 700 members in our closed Facebook group in Massachusetts. We have a grief support group that has, about 250 people in Massachusetts.
So what would you say is the main purpose of that? I know you talked about people not being alone and not feeling like they were alone, but is it also sort of an information and resource sharing tool for people as well, or do you not call it that?
No, absolutely. I mean, and it's peer support. So there's no one in there that is going to swoop in and fix everything, but there's unbelievable amounts of information. We have files in all of our groups because we have 23 different states we're in. So we have files in all of our groups that are state specific. So they'll have information on what to do in your state. For example, in Massachusetts, if somebody's interested in learning more about Section 35, which is the civil commitment for somebody who's a danger to themselves or others, there's all kinds of paperwork on that. There's a phone number from Mass Bar Association for volunteers that will walk you through the process. There's just information that you wouldn't be able to, it would take forever. It took us forever to find out these things. And this is like a cut to the chase. So here you are, you come into this group, and there is somebody in that group that's been through whatever you're going through, I can guarantee it.
Do you think that it also has any kind of a role in terms of maybe oversight treatment facilities and saying, this one isn't so great, be careful here, or do anything? Does it do that?
Oh, it absolutely does that. You don't want to make a mom mad, I can tell you that. And there's, somebody's not doing the right thing. You don't want to make 725 angry Massachusetts moms. So, I mean, my hope is that when there's a facility or if there's a program not doing the right thing, that we can work with them and make them better. Because it's only to our benefit to have really good services in Massachusetts. And we are so fortunate because I see what goes on in other states, and we really are way ahead of the game as far as good services. But there's plenty of work to be done.
Now, you said you started this because you learned things the hard way going through it with your own daughter, and mm-hmm. you thought you'd provide maybe help to people who need it. How's your daughter now? How old is she? And what, you know, how's her journey been?
She's 24 now, and she's doing really well. I'm very proud of her. She's fighting really hard every day, you know, but this is going to be a lifelong thing. So, and she has days where she struggles, but she's doing really well right now.
And what does she think about all of this that you're doing, that this has taken off and become a job, I would assume, right? A job on top of a full-time job.
She's really proud of me. Mm-hmm. I think she's really proud of everything we're all doing. And her hope is once she has a year that she'll, you know, join me, and that she talks about making a career out of working in treatment herself. She's pretty inspirational. She's been through a lot.
That's Maureen Cavanaugh, founder and president of Magnolia New Beginnings Incorporated. For more information and links to hers and other substance use disorder groups, go to our website, radioboston.org. Stay with us. Coming up, writer Cassie Underwood talks about her journey to understand her complicated emotions after an abortion. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.